Hour number four of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a former NFL offensive lineman. Does a great job as an analyst for Westwood One Sports, where he covers the NFL. And you can always check out his very popular podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And as always with Ross Tucker, we'll talk about a great gift idea, myfrontpagestory.com. Ross, how you been, my friend?
Zach, I am fantastic. I love talking with you. You know how proud I am of everything you've accomplished. And this is going to sound weird, but I saw you on TV last night.
Did you really?
My wife and I finally finished the Manti Te'o documentary.
Yeah.
And by the way, I saw myself on TV last night too, because I'm in the part two. So we watched part two. Listen, we got two little girls. We got a bunch of activities. We don't watch much TV. But I knew I was in it. I heard I was in it, so I had to watch it. So I saw the part where you're sitting at the table with Manti before the Heisman, and you ask him a question, and then there's the part with me. So, yeah, I saw you on Netflix last night. I bet you people don't tell you that very often.
Well, now we're in an exclusive fraternity together. We get no residuals from that, so I guess you're still buying dinner next time.
I was wondering about that. Don't they have to ask for my permission to use that or something? What's the deal?
I would assume so, but I guess not. I'll just take the plug in the documentary, so I'm good with that. Let me start you off with this draft coming up on Thursday, and I'll be in Kansas City hosting the CBS Sports Radio draft coverage. We know that the Panthers are going to take Bryce Young first overall. I think that's the right pick. Or are you in the same boat there?
1,000%. Yeah, I never understood when the Panthers first made the trade and the conversation revolved around, you know, C.J. Stroud. I just didn't get it, Zach. I mean, C.J. Stroud's a really good player, but I don't know, man. Alabama's on national TV every week. I watched every game they played, seemingly, the last couple of years. Has he ever had a bad game? I mean, even when Alabama lost, it was never his fault. He just has an incredible knack for making the right play at the right time. And Stroud's a good player as well. But, Zach, I mean, for the last couple of years, first of all, 2 years ago, Olave and Garrett Wilson were so open most of the time, it was embarrassing. It was like Olave would score a touchdown on a post with nobody within 20 yards of him. And then this year, it was like every time you-know-what hit the fan, he would just throw it to Harrison Jr., who would make a ridiculous catch. Their offensive line at Ohio State's awesome. I just think I think it was good to see Bryce Young have to deal with even more adversity this year without having a dominant O-line or a dominant receiving core. It only kind of enhanced, you know, my thoughts on him.
Well, it just shows you how in the moment it is, because for the last 2 years, you're exactly right. Bryce Young is the much better quarterback, and then there was that push after the Ohio State game up against Georgia for Stroud to usurp Young. But it's almost like people forgot, because I agree with everything you just said, Ross Tucker. Bryce Young this year did not have a lot of great weapons. C.J. Stroud did. But 2 years ago in the SEC title game, Bryce Young did go 26 of 44 for 421 yards and three passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown against a Georgia defense that was probably better 2 years ago than the one this past year.
Totally agree. Absolutely, totally agree. I'm a huge Bryce Young guy. That would be the guy I would trust with the keys to the franchise. I mean, I'll look at it another way, Zach. You know I like college football and recruiting and stuff. You know how good you have to be 5'10 and a quarter, 175 pounds, and Alabama gives you a full scholarship? I mean, do you have any other, like, or to start for 2 years there, or to even be in consideration for the number one pick? I mean, he's just that good. He really is that good, and I think Carolina's doing the right thing.
The intrigue, Ross Tucker, for this draft starts with the second pick. It seems like it changes each and every day. Today, the betting favorite is Will Levis at 2. For the last week and a half, everyone said that the Texans are going to pass on a quarterback. What do you think the Texans will actually do at 2 once Bryce Young goes off the board at 1?
Tough to tell. I there is no way that the Houston Texans come out of this draft without a quarterback in the first round. I just don't see it. So if they don't get one at two, Zach, think about putting the pressure on yourself to have to trade back up to get the guy you want, unless they're willing to sit there at 12 and hope somebody falls to them. I do not think they'll take Will Levis. I actually think Will Levis is going to drop. I think Will Levis is going to fall. I mean, like, if you're looking for a guy with high upside based on his physical ability, aren't you going to take Anthony Richardson? If you're looking for a guy that's more polished and more ready as a passer now, aren't you going to take C.J. Stroud? You know what Will Levis is? Don't use this, Zach. I'm going to use this the rest. Will Levis is Kmart. And there's nothing wrong with Kmart. There's nothing wrong with Kmart. Listen, there's nothing wrong with Kmart, okay? But if you wanted the cheapest price, you went to Walmart. If you wanted something a little bit nicer, you went to Target. That's why Kmart's not around anymore. You don't want to be in the middle. Will Levis, no, he's not the highest upside guy, and he's not the most polished guy.
Do you think they're fine if they don't take a quarterback with two? And I agree with you. I don't love Will Levis. If he's still there at 12, maybe it's a different conversation. But if they're waiting at 12, it makes me think, and I would never have thought that this guy was going to go this early in the draft, but is Hendon Hooker then in play for them at 12?
Has to be. That has to be a consideration. Now, listen.
Because you know he'll be there.
Yeah, well, Caserio saw what happened with the Patriots and Mac Jones, right? Which is, I don't think the Patriots love Mac Jones. They never trade up for him. People thought he was going to go higher and higher, and then he was there, and they're like, okay, well, we'll take him. And I think Caserio thinks, you know what? I don't know that anybody's really going to take Levis. I don't know who's going to take Richardson that high or Stroud. We can sit at 12, and one of these guys will fall to us. I think that is a possibility, because I do think Levis, there's a chance he falls, and I think maybe Caserio is on the hot seat a little bit, because there's been rumors, and maybe he thinks, I got to get a stud player that helps us win more games this year in Anderson, and then there's pros and cons of all of these quarterbacks. Let's just take the one that comes to 12, or we'll go down for 12 to 12. And then they got enough ammo, they can move back up if a guy gets within range that is a guy they really like.
You also wonder, and I know this is a tricky game to play, Ross Tucker, if maybe they just pass a quarterback altogether in the first round. And I know what you just said about the hot seat. Maybe the D'Amico Ryans timeline resets things for Caserio as well. And maybe they're back in the top five next year and they go get Williams or May.
You know, I hear people say that.
It's a tough game to play.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? Have a really bad season so you get number one pick? They just did that, Zach, and then they blew it the last week. They just did that. Didn't we just do this?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then they told Lovie Smith knew he was going to be fired. So Lovie Smith's like, all right, I'm going to go win this game. I'll show those guys. Think about the impact that win by Lovie Smith might have on that franchise. I mean, it's unbelievable.
A few more on the quarterbacks, Ross Tucker, then we'll explore elsewhere in the draft. Who do you think the Colts are going to end up getting at four? We know it's going to be a quarterback. The question is who?
This is another one. I find it so interesting that there's all these Will Levis is the odds-on favorite at two, all these rumors about Will Levis at four to the Colts. I don't know, man. I can see Steichen going for Anthony Richardson. I really can. I can see Steichen, if he likes the way Richardson's wired, and everything I'm hearing is that people really do like the way that he's wired, you know, his personality, his football character, I think Steichen gets him and says, I'm putting him on the Jalen Hurts program. We run the ball a bunch early. Till he gets settled in as a passer, then we throw it a little bit more. I mean, Steichen just kind of did this. He has the template, Zach, with Jalen Hurts.
Ross Tucker, if let's just say Richardson doesn't go in the first four picks, I think Seattle and Detroit make very intriguing destinations because they're not bad teams. They're just here because of trades. And they have a quarterback each now, but no one probably believes they're a franchise quarterback. And all you hear is Richardson's development. If Richardson's still there at five or six, do you think either Seattle or Detroit would pull the trigger?
I tend to think one of them will. Yeah, I do. I really do, Zach. And I don't know which one, but I think one of them is going to say, you know, we hope to not be drafting up here again anytime soon. They, you know, the Seahawks made the playoffs. The Lions probably should have. They both, in my mind, are projected playoff teams this year.
Yeah.
This, now, look, they could look at it the other way, Zach, and they could say Philly's coming back to the pack a little bit. We get a difference-making player here. Maybe we make a run. You know, maybe we make a playoff run. But the chance to get a guy that has that kind of upside at that position, while you already have another guy in place and you're still going to have a good team and you can make a smooth transition, I think that is awfully tempting. Now, they're both in the NFC, but you still have to look at this thing as like, who do you have to beat to win the Super Bowl? Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen? Like, you better have a guy that can really, really, that has big-time upside at that position.
Ross Tucker, when you look at the Raiders, not necessarily what they're going to do at seven. There's some thought that maybe they go quarterback. But if they do go quarterback, like, I just wonder what direction they're going in because they just brought in Jimmy G. It almost makes me think if they draft a quarterback at seven, probably not going to play right away, but then shouldn't they have just kept Derek Carr for another season? I don't get what direction the Raiders as an organization are just moving in.
No idea what they're doing. Yeah. And I always say that. I mean, I am thoroughly confused. I mean, how about you give Derek Carr that contract, you give him more money, and then you trade him? Or you give Darren Waller that contract, and then you trade him? I mean, you want to talk about a poor job of self-scouting. The Raiders are giving out contracts to guys before they've played a down for them and then deciding they don't like them and then getting rid of them. I mean, it's not good. It's not a good look for that franchise. And then they bring in Jimmy G. Is he an upgrade over Derek Carr? I don't think so. I mean, I'm looking at them. How did they get better this year? I don't really see them getting better. They've gone out of their way to say that, you know, at some point they're going to get the long-term answer at that position. It's like they're trying to talk to a guy like Mark Davis through the media. And I think they're trying to buy time. I think they're trying to buy time and see if they can get a quarterback next year.
Ross Tucker, Eagles at 10. Will they take Bijan Robinson if he's available? Because I've been advocating that they should.
I would be very, very surprised if they did that. And I do not agree with you or the other people suggesting they should do that. I'll tell you why. There's a few reasons. Number one, the guy that got the most money, there was a bunch of free agent running backs this offseason. The guy that got the most money was Miles Sanders. He basically got beat out in the playoffs by Kenny Gainwell. I mean, he got out-snapped and outplayed in the playoffs by Kenny Gainwell. So the guy that Carolina said, that's our guy, highest-paid running back free agent this offseason, the Eagles pretty clearly in the playoffs, those games are kind of important, decided Gainwell was more effective. They have Mr. Reliable and Boston Scott, and then two other things, Zach. Rashad Penny is a stud.
But he's never
healthy. Rashad Penny is a first-round caliber running back. Now, we know the caveat. If he stays healthy, he hasn't been able to. It's a lottery ticket. I get it. But why would you block that lottery ticket? You have two, and there's other guys they could get, like a Fournette. Like, if they need to get another running back later, they can. But they've got two guys that they know they can count on in Scott and Gainwell, and then Penny's the lottery ticket. I just think they're much more likely to get O-line, D-line, corner. The other problem with Bijan Robinson, look, Zach, you know I do the Eagles preseason games.
Yeah.
I would love if they signed, if they drafted Bijan. I love saying Bijan. It just sounds nice, like Bijan. It's awesome. But the other thing is, you're paying the guy pretty darn good money up there. I mean, you're already making him like a top six or seven paid running back, whereas Rashad Penny's making like the minimum. I mean, they're not in a position now where they can spend. It's not even the draft choice as much as the money that Bijan would get, in my mind.
Last thing I'll ask you before my front page story is wrapping up with Ross Tucker. So we talked about the quarterbacks. We talked about Bijan Robinson, your love for saying his first name. Outside of the quarterback and then Bijan Robinson, who are some players that you just really love in this draft when you watch all the tape?
Yeah, well, I still love Will Anderson. You know, this is one of my soapbox items, Zach, but it, like, drives me crazy. I mean, I've seen Peter King on his mock draft, you know, this morning that Will Anderson might not go till six. So you're telling me that guy.
It reminds me a lot like Kayvon Thibodeau last year. It's like prospect fatigue when you hear so much about someone. Then we all of a sudden we start to fall, and then they don't actually fall.
But, Zach, he would have been the number one pick last year.
Yeah, I agree.
So the guy's going to lose $10-plus million because he had to go back to school for another year, didn't get hurt, didn't play bad. Like, that's nuts to me. The other guy I love is Peter Skoronski. And number one, I love him as a player just because he's part of, like, the short arm posse, but he still gets it done. But also, like, I mean, Peter Skoronski, like, what's that guy going to do if he doesn't make it in football?
Sounds like a perfect fit for the Bears. He really does.
Well, I mean, look, he's not going to be a doctor. Nobody's going to go see Dr. Skoronski. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's got to make it as a pro football player. Nobody's going to that guy for anything else. Skoronski, he's got to be a football player. He's going to do it.
I love that. I absolutely love that. All righty. Tell me, every time you come on, you talk about my front page story. It's a great gift idea. You've been talking about this with me for years. But if people have not been on the My Front Page Story push, why should they get on board?
Well, because Mother's Day is coming up, and everybody driving around right now, I know you haven't even thought about Mother's Day, let alone gotten your mom or your wife a Mother's Day gift. I'll make it real easy for you. Just go to myfrontpagestory.com. By far the best Mother's Day gift I've ever seen. Listen, you talk to one of the writers while you're driving for 10 minutes. You tell them how great your mom is or your wife or whatever. They write the most unbelievable story about him. It's framed, pictures of her and the kids, maybe you. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. When she gets it and reads the quotes, like, I just don't thank her enough for everything she does for the family. She's the best mom ever. Like, she will cry. So, Zach, tell your listeners to use the code CBS10. I'll even give the Zach Gelb crew, I'll give you guys 10% off CBS10. At myfrontpagestory.com. If it's not the best Mother's Day gift you ever give her, I will be shocked. Myfrontpagestory.com.
Absolutely love it. Just one more quick one before we let you run, Ross Tucker. We know the team that you started your football career off with. It looks like they're close to being sold. I'm sure there'll be a few hiccups along the way. Just as a former player of that organization, just how are you feeling? Because all pride with that team has just been lost throughout the years because of Daniel Snyder.
Totally thrilled. Yeah, I mean, Zach, I started my career there and finished it. 01 Schottenheimer, went to four other teams, came back 07 Gibbs, and then retired in 2008. Zach, I know you're a younger guy, but you still remember 2001, man, my rookie year, FedEx Field was rocking. There was like a 40,000 people season ticket waiting list. It was awesome to be a player on that team in that area back then. I go do games there now. It's unbelievable. I've never seen, and this is a good talk show topic, so maybe you can get some people to call in. I've never seen a greater erosion of a fan base in professional or college. I mean, maybe the Oakland A's, I don't know. But in a 20-year period, you go to a game now, half the stadium's full. And even the half that's there,
other team,
half of them are on the other for the other team.
Exactly. It's a dump of a stadium, too. They literally take a dump
about it,
on their fans
about
with the sewage.
It's horrible. My sister lives down there. My nieces and nephew, they don't even watch the game. They couldn't even tell you who plays. They lost the whole generation, Zach. They really did.
100%. He's Ross Tucker. Ross, always great to catch up with you. And we'll track down Netflix to make sure we get those residuals, all right?
I love it. Thanks so much, Zach.